Hello, everyone. This is Bob Zeta. My amateur radio call sign is N1BLF, November 1, Bravo Lima Foxtrot. I'm reading for you today in digest form, the UCWA Journal for the winter of 2008. The Quarter Century Wireless Association may be reached at their business office, P.O. Box 3247, Framingham, Massachusetts, 01705. The telephone number, area code 508-405-1930. For faxing, it's 508-405-1965. And by email, qcwagm@rcn.com. This recording is through the cooperation of the Courage Handyham System, 3915 Golden Valley Road, Golden Valley, Minnesota, 55422. It is for the use of QCWA and eligible Handyham members only. You can reach Handyhams at area 763-520-0512 or at email address handyham@courage.org. We have a website at www.handyham.org. I'd like to update all of you listening with the Quarter Century Wireless Association officers and board of directors. Our president, Bob Roski, N0UF. Vice president, Ken Olke, VE6AFO. Secretary, Walter Supina, N3WS. Treasurer, Frank Harris, WA4PAM. General Manager, Chuck Walbridge, K1IGD. The Board of Directors, Leroy Baldwin, Val Irwin, Carolyn Harrison, Tony Hirsch, Larry McAlvey, William Pasternak, Joan Powell, Ed Yoder. And our historian is Gary Harrison. His call is K0BC. He lives in Bolivar, Missouri. I'll begin today with a note from the President, Bob Roski, November 0, Uniform Foxtrot, and 0 UF, for the winter of 2008. Linda and I just returned from Virginia Beach, where Chairman Vic Culver, W4VIC, and the members of Chapter 119 succeeded in putting on a super QCWA convention. The Cavalier Hotel was everything we expected it to be, and the beach was better than I remember it. There was never a dull moment with a full slate of forums, tours, and social events throughout the weekend. The annual members' meeting on Saturday morning was attended by many convention-goers, and the reports presented by the officers and committees were informative and very well received. Space has been reserved at the Dayton Hamvention for the QCWA Forum in 2009. With the constitutional change being approved, this will also be a members' meeting. It will tie in quite nicely with the Chapter 9 banquet that is always interesting to attend. The 2009 convention is already scheduled to be a cruise on the Eurodome out of Fort Lauderdale, Florida, with stops in Grand Turks, San Juan, Puerto Rico, St. Thomas, U.S. Virgin Islands, and Half Moon Cay, Bahama. The Collins Collectors Group will be joining us, and there will be stations on board to operate. There will be ham radio-related forums during our time at sea that will include a members' meeting. The lifeblood of QCWA is our members. Without them, we will cease to exist. In the 12 months from September 2007 through August 2008, QCWA added 417 members. We signed 32 at Dayton, and 187 joined without a sponsor. The remaining 198 were sponsored by 128 individuals. 108 sponsored 1, 7 sponsored 2, 6 sponsored 3, 2 sponsored 4, 2 sponsored 5, Ron Oliver, W7UV, and Val Irwin, W5PUT, sponsored 10 each. John Johnson, W3BE, sponsored 20 new members in the past year. Beyond that, John has sponsored 78 new members in the past 4 years. Everyone that sponsored over 5 members is an officer in a local chapter or on the National Board of Directors or both. The only observation I can make is, quoting, "Leading by example doesn't seem to be working," close quote. We all need to sponsor new members. We can't assign that task to a select few. If everyone sponsored one member every 5 years, we would average 1,400 new members every year. Check out the following website, http://www.qcwa.org/chapters-on_the_sign_air_chpt.htm to find out when and where your chapter is on the air. You may live close enough to check into another chapter's net or use Echolink to access a VHF/UHF net. See you on the log. It's signed 73DE and 0UF Op Bob Ross Key, QCWA President. I want to give you a short background of the Quarter Century Wireless Association. The QCWA Wireless Association Incorporated was founded December 5, 1947, as a non-commercial association for radio amateurs organized for the promotion of interest in amateur radio communication and experimentation, for the establishment and advancement of the radio art, and of the public welfare. QCWA is an incorporated association without capital stock, chartered under the laws of the state of New York, and is a tax-exempt 501c3 organization under the Internal Revenue Code of 1986. Its affairs are governed by a president, vice president, secretary, treasurer, and a board of directors whose voting members are elected every 2 years by the general membership. In order to qualify for membership in QCWA, one must have demonstrable proof of having been first licensed as an amateur radio operator at least 25 years prior to the application for membership and must be currently licensed. Membership inquiries and general correspondence should be addressed to the business office at the following: P.O. Box 3247, Framingham, Massachusetts, M.A., zip code 01705 in the United States of America. The telephone number is 508-405-1930. A fax, 508-405-1965. New QCWA subcommittee form. Your QCWA board has established a new committee, part of the Chapter Relations Committee, with an initial purpose of working with concerns and issues our membership and chapters have within our organization. The subcommittee, with a membership of one so far, has picked up the moniker Lost Member Follow-Up before we have even left the starting gate. To adequately recruit membership in an organization, one must understand what attracts folks to join such a group. To get the organization to grow in size across age groups within the parameters of QCWA and be willing participants in group functions, the organization needs to understand what attracted our current members and continues to hold them. But what might be an even more important facet is what caused the members and ultimately the chapters who left to leave. What did we do or not do that impacted on their departure? The simplest, most direct way to find this out, I believe, is to ask them. It is rather difficult to fix a problem if we don't know what it is. So let me start out by asking the membership if they have any concerns or issues within the QCWA organization that might cause you to leave or think about leaving our family. Please be specific. Give me a detailed explanation of the situation and what, in your opinion, might be a resolution of the issue. I would like to use your concerns and what I perceive to be a solution to those issues as the format to continue this column quarterly. And I will try to look at the situation from your point of view when I formulate my answers. Will this work? I really do not know, but I am willing to give it a try if you are willing to let me know what your issues are. You can contact me by email at lowercase wa9jmo@wi.net or wa9jmo@gmail.com, by telephone at area 262-639-7327, or by U.S. mail, to 5400 6 Mile Road, Racine, Wisconsin. Racine, R-A-C-I-N-E, W-I, zip code 53402. I'm also looking for subcommittee members, folks that might enjoy batting around a few ideas while trying to locate some workable solution to whatever concern the subcommittee is currently looking at. If you are interested, please let me know. The first problem is coming up with a subcommittee name. Any ideas? And it's signed 73, Larry McCalvey, call WA9JMO. McCalvey is spelled M-C-C-A-L-V-Y, Whiskey Alpha 9, Juliet Mike Oscar, Lost Member Subcommittee Chair. Let's move along now to the General Manager's Report. Our General Manager, Chuck Walbridge, call K1IGD, Kilo 1 to India Golf Delta, for the winter of 2008. Convention / BOD, Board of Director Meeting 2008. The members of Chapter 119 deserve a round of applause for providing an excellent setting for the 2008 Board of Directors Meeting and the 2008 Convention activities. A special thanks to Vic Culver, W4VIC Chairman, and all his committee members who devoted time and energy to the event. Promoting membership. Various ways to publicize QCWA were discussed by the board members during the board meeting. I have been directed to provide selected ham radio vendors with backlists of the journal that can be displayed in their stores and free of charge to their customers. I will contact the vendors to arrange for this distribution. The next time you visit a vendor, note if copies of the journal are available to their customers. If they are, express your thanks for allowing QCWA to display the journal. Chapter Manual. This past year, members of the board and members of their committees have been working on revising the chapter manual. It is now updated and available for your use. It is posted on the web page as a PDF file, or if you would like a free copy on a CD, send a request to headquarters via email or phone. The manual can help answer many questions in the mechanics of running your chapter. Dues expiration dates. There are two simple ways to check on the status of your QCWA membership. First, a dues reminder envelope is mailed 3 times a year. On the top line of the address label, along with other membership information, is listed your expiration date. That date is also part of the label on your current copy of the journal. We need your time and effort to continue as an organization, but we also need your financial support as well, especially during this troublesome time. Please check the date and keep your membership current. Those who are life members will have an L in their journal label. Recognition. Over the past 4 years, John B. Johnson, W3BE, Whiskey 3 Bravo Echo, served as our national president. To thank John for his effort, the members of the board of directors signed a letter of appreciation. The photo, which is shown on page 5, shows Carolyn Harrison, called WB0OUM, presenting John with the letter. It was my personal pleasure to work with John. Thanks, John. Headquarters actions. As GM, I would like to report on some activities here at headquarters. We have a new club call, Ralph Hasslinger's call, which was W2CVF. QCWA now has the call of one of our first presidents, Errol Thomas, called W2MM, and Ralph's, who was our last chapter member. Both calls are valid until 2018. The QCWA web address, www.qcwa.org, has been extended until 2018. Jan and I wish all of you and your families the best of the holidays. We look forward to meeting with you at the QCWA booth in Dayton in May 2009. Signed, 73 Chuck, K1IGD, General Manager. Ladies and gentlemen, in this issue of the Quarter Century Wireless Association Journal for the winter of 2008, Beginning on page 6, the Foundation of Amateur Radio Incorporated lists the QCWA scholarship winners. I have quite a few listed here on page 6. I'll give them to you as they are listed. QCWA named Memorial Scholarships, two at $1,600 each. Beginning with the Ralph Haslinger W2CVF Charter Member Scholarship, the winner, Grant Morin, W4GHM, Wilmington, North Carolina. The Leland Smith Sr., called W5KL Memorial Scholarship. The winner, Bryce T. Salmi, KB1LQC, Chelmsford, Massachusetts. Now, the QCWA named Memorial Scholarships, there were various ones. Donald and Phyllis Dowdy, Family Scholarship 1 at $1,400, goes to Stephen Oi, spelled O-I, call NV6A, Brentwood, Tennessee. The Wes Randalls Memorial Scholarship 1 at $1,100, goes to Brenton J. Salmi, KB1LQD, Chelmsford, Massachusetts. That's not the same name I gave you above for the Leland Smith. Those good men are brothers. Next is the Jacobson-Keller family. Call W3DUG and W4ZC scholarship, one at $1,100. Goes to Nicholas Bauer, KC9GZY, Bloomingham, Indiana. The Leo Meyerson call W0GFQ Family Living Scholarship, one at $1,100. Goes to Alex Brech, KC0YLD, Kerry, Minnesota. The QCWA Silent Key Memorial Scholarships, 12 at $1,000 each. Dan Ellis, KG4IVC, Pikeville, North Carolina. William Joshua Fisher, W4WJF, Vail, North Carolina. Kyle Fox, W4KDF, Warrenton, Virginia. Catherine Jones, KI4EVA, Vinton, Virginia. Blake McCabe, KC2GQX, Vestal, New York. Wayne McNamar, WD7PVY, Everett, Washington. Reed Morin, W4RSM, Wilmington, North Carolina. Sabra Perry, KD7JPR, Sweet Home, Oregon. Matthew Pop, spelled P-O-P-P-E, AD7HF, Spokane Valley, Washington. Sarah Schneider Firestone, KB3QJR, Columbia, Maryland. Stephen M. Schiarini, KC8IDJ, Dover, Ohio. Stephen T. Simpson, KC8IOY, Ocala, Florida. Now, the following information is for you folks that do not read this material. From pages 7 through 10, there is a biographical sketch for every participating winner. Very interesting reading on these individuals who won these various QCWA scholarship awards. If you'd like to share in that information and you're not able to read it yourself, you should solicit a friend or another amateur to come and read along with you to find out about these young people. Very well done. Continuing with the readings, for those of you particularly who've been receiving the QCWA Journal for some period of time, let's say for several years at least, you are aware that there are chapter reports filed by different responsible individuals from various chapters throughout the country and other parts of the world. This issue of the journal has 41 reports filed by different chapters. I have in my possession a list of 17 chapter numbers. And these are QCWA chapters that have visually handicapped members and appreciate very much the fact that the Courage Handicap System is sharing the journal in this digest format with them through audio tape programs or other means of receiving the information. Now, of the 17 requests that I have as a baseline, only 8 have actually filed a report, which simply states that the other 9, although they're asking for the information from their chapter, are not going to be able to get it because it's not here, wasn't submitted in time, or simply wasn't submitted by a responsible person of that chapter. I'm not trying to beat this to death, folks. It's just that it's my pleasure to serve the purpose here. But if those particular chapters who have members that have asked for the reading of the material of the QCWA journal, they should at least file some sort of report. That doesn't have to be a long report. Some of them are half a page. Others are just 2 inches. That's okay. So obviously I'm urging anyone who is listening to this, and if the shoe fits, you should wear it, because it's really helpful as a member of the organization to serve your fellow member, and most especially those who are print or sight impaired. Let's hope that performance improves as time goes by. And thank you for being patient with my commentary. I'll begin the reading with Chapter 8, Upper Midwest, MN. 14 members and guests engaged in numerous eyeball QSOs before the September Chapter 8 meeting in the Fort Snelling Club after our summer hiatus. A program on the American Lighthouse Society was presented by Dave Rush and F0J. We were surprised by the number of lighthouses on the north shore of Lake Superior. Shack Safety is the program for our November meeting. It will be presented by Dick Filstrom, W0TLE. The remaining meeting dates for 2008 are November 15th and our holiday party on December 13th. Dates for the first half of 2009 are January 17th, March 21st, and May 23rd. Our Nets meet Saturday morning on 3.909 megahertz at 0800 Central Time. Baldy, W0OFY, is the NCS. Then at 0900 Central Time, Jack, and 0GI, is the NCS on 145.450 megahertz. This repeater is connected to Echolink, the number 89680, with no PL tone. So please join us. That was filed by N0UF, Bob Roski, Secretary. Chapter 10, Michigan, MI. The membership of Michigan Chapter 10 wishes to convey season's greetings to all of the members of QCWA and wish everyone a very happy and prosperous new year for 2009. Our congratulations to all of the newly elected directors and officers of QCWA. We all wish you well as you carry on the great responsibility for this fine organization. Our thanks to General Manager Chuck Walbridge, K1IGD, and his wife Jan for their outstanding service to QCWA over the past year. Thank you, Chuck and Jan. We would like to extend a sincere welcome to the following new members who have joined Chapter 10 as their home chapter. Nathaniel Jonesy Jones, K8DJE, of Sterling Heights, Michigan. Leonard Schoffsma, W8SPX, of Grand Rapids, Michigan. Frederick Fred G. Soper, KC8FS, of Litchfield, Michigan. William A. Gerber, W8CBH, of Rockford, Michigan. And Carl A. Thompson, WA8AAT, of Grand Rapids, Michigan. It is with deepest regret that we must report the silent key for longtime QCWA life member Corin L. Skutt, S-K-U-T-T, called W8FSZ from Lansing, Michigan. Corin was first licensed in 1950 and joined QCWA as a life member in 1975. His number was 10287. He served Chapter 10 as Secretary Treasurer for many years, was active in all chapter activities, and had earned the QCWA 50th Anniversary of Licensing Award. QCWA 50 Years of Continuous Licensing Award, the QCWA 55th or 55th Anniversary of Licensing Award, and was also presented the coveted QCWA Meritorious Service Award for his many contributions to QCWA and Michigan Chapter 10. Now, for our listener, this report is very, very long. I just commented a few moments ago about not having to be too long, but too long is not too good either sometimes. It's not really too long. It has a great deal of information about various awards, accomplishments by the different members of the chapter, Chapter 10 of Michigan. The report is being filed by the Secretary Treasurer, James F. Bishop. He goes on to state, though, that due to the journal article restrictions, we are unable to post photos of chapter activities and still include all members involved. Because we do not wish to limit photos to a select few, we have decided to post all chapter activity photos on our web page on the QCWA website. We apologize to those members that do not have online capabilities, and we suggest that you contact your QCWA Board of Directors to encourage them to revise the journal article restrictions so that articles will address the accomplishments of all members equally. With a membership of almost 130 members, limiting an article to 800 words without photos, or 500 words with a maximum of 3 photos, does not always do the membership justice. We hope that changes will be forthcoming in this issue. Please help our QCWA by recruiting new members and encourage former members to reinstate their dues and become active once again. It is essential that we all do this on a regular basis. Do not forget Straight Key Night on New Year's Eve. Hope to hear many of you on the air as we recall the good old days of the Straight Key. QRM, QSB, QRN, while having FUN. Fun. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to all. Signed, James F. Bishop, Secretary, Treasurer. Well, let's jump ahead now to Chapter 63, Central Oklahoma. Okay. Quarter Century Wild Association Central Oklahoma Chapter 63 held their third quarter meeting at 11 a.m. on Saturday, July 19, 2008, at the Hometown Buffet. This allowed hams attending the annual Oklahoma City Ham Fest called Ham Holiday to come meet with us, too. A total of 25 members and guests were in attendance. Among the guests were Carolyn Harrison, WP0OUM, National Director for QCWA, Gary Harrison, K0BC, past National President of QCWA, Val Irwin, W5PUT, National Director of QCWA, and Oscar Hoyt, K5UBS, who lives in Dallas, Texas, and is a friend of Norm Wilson. This was a special meeting, as it was designated Norm Wilson W5FLO Day, to honor Norm for his 21 years as Secretary Treasurer of QCWA Chapter 63. Norm has decided to pass these duties to others, so he will be free to travel. Carolyn Harrison, National Director, presented Norm with the Meritorious Award Certificate issued by headquarters and to recognize unusual dedication to QCWA. Val Irwin, National Director, presented Norm with the QCWA Century Club Certificate. Skip Amos, Oklahoma Chapter 63 President, presented Norm with an engraved watch. And there are a couple of pictures here showing Norm receiving all these goodies from the various folks we just mentioned. After the presentations were made to Norm, Skip Amos, and 5CFM, Oklahoma Chapter 63 President, announced QCWA Century Club certificates for these other members. W5NUT, Gil Wood, W5JCB, Elmo Black, W5ZWM, Cummings Hallmark, NO5M, Donald Rooker, AA0O, Robert Runyon, W5NTR, Robert Unspaugh, and W5PER, James Jones. This was filed by Lyle Amos, called W5SJC, Chapter Director. Now for Chapter 65, New York, New York. Our weekly net is run by VP Tom Whalen using club call W2SD, Whiskey 2 Sierra Delta, every Sunday at 1330 local time on 3900 kilohertz. The regular check-ins are Bob, K2VNM, Gary, WB2AK, and Larry, WA2ARA. We sure could use more members from our chapter and others to join us. How about it? Fire up your rig and give it a try. And what about our monthly luncheons? A fun time is always guaranteed and well worth the effort of dragging yourself out there. The restaurant offers our group 19 menu item choices, which are all of high quality and with a low prearranged price as well. So come out on the second Saturday of the month at noon to Brennan's Bowery Bar at Main and Transit in Clarence, New York, and bring a friend. If you have an XYL or significant other, please bring her along, too. Members from other chapters are very welcome as well. By the time you are reading this, our Christmas get-together and formal annual meeting have already taken place. If you haven't attended this meeting, shame on you. You cheated yourself out of a fine time. Most of us have ham buddies that are eligible to join the QCWA, so how about nudging them to join us? The more the merrier. We wish all the chapter members and their loved ones a very Merry Christmas and a Hammy New Year. That was filed by Larry Rybecki, called W-A-2-A-R-A, president of Chapter 65 in New York. Chapter 67, Texas. Chapter 67 is currently struggling to remain a viable chapter of QCWA. In recent months, our attendance has dropped to about a half dozen regulars because of the lack of adequate meeting facilities at times that are suitable to the majority of the local members and the numerous special interest groups, for example, ATV, ARIS, Microwaves, QRP, etc., that meet regularly in Austin. We have had trouble attracting new members. However, we recently moved our meeting place to the IHOP on Research Boulevard in Northwest Austin, and this has seemed to help our attendance. In addition, we signed up a couple of new members in August at the Austin Hamfest. We currently meet on the second Saturday of each month at the IHOP on Research Boulevard in Northwest Austin at 2 p.m. A morning meeting time seems preferable to many of our potential members, but few, if any, of the local eating establishments are willing to reserve space for us during the pre-noon hours, since the Saturday afternoon hours are popular for football games and or family activities. This seems to contribute to attendance problems. We have had numerous discussions regarding our meeting days and times, but have not reached a consensus. The special interest groups have already scheduled meetings for many evenings during the month. In addition, we have several members or potential members that have difficulty driving at night. Moreover, many potential members are pre-retirement and therefore unable to attend weekday meetings. At present, we are reviewing possible program options to see if we can come up with ideas for programs that will appeal to more of the local hams. Now, in parenthesis, I have been traveling a lot for the past few weeks, so I apologize for this very brief report, close parenthesis. And it's signed Milt Cram, C-R-A-M. Milt's call is W-8-N-U-E, Secretary for Chapter 67 in Texas. We'll go now to the Yankee Chapter 112, Massachusetts. The joint chapter summer picnic was held at Moody Park in Claremont, New Hampshire on July 26. It was a beautiful day, nothing like the last few years with heavy rain and thunderstorms. Members were present from Pioneer and Twin State chapters. Yankee chapter had two members present, Ann, WB1ARU, and Tony, WA1ENO. Some other members were planning on making the trip, but at the last minute had to cancel. Yankee chapter supplied the charcoal for the grilling. After the picnic, K1XV, Ray, the president of Twin State Chapter, started a business meeting. The major subject of discussion was what could be done to get people to join QCWA and the local chapters. Everyone had a great time with lots of good fellowship. Yankee chapter was also present at the ARRL New England Division Convention in Boxborough, Massachusetts, on August 22 through 24. General Manager K1IGD, Chuck, ran the QCWA booth with help from the President of QCWA, W3BE, John B. Johnston, and members of Yankee chapter. W3BE John held a QCWA forum on Saturday afternoon. New members were signed up for both QCWA and Yankee chapter. Information pertaining to the other New England chapters was given to those who live outside the Yankee chapter area. That was filed by Tony, called W-A-1-E-N-O, president of Yankee chapter 112. We'll go now to chapter 149, Nutmeg in Connecticut. The August 9, 2008 meeting of QCWA Nutmeg Chapter 149 was held at Tommy's Restaurant in Middletown, Connecticut. It was the first time the club met at Tommy's, and there was a record turnout for an August meeting for the last 3 or 4 years of about 40 people, according to Club Treasurer Gary Oskowitz, K1MQ. Club President Luke Laurentano, KA1SE, called the meeting to order before noon with a self-introductions roll call. Howard Corey, W1CL, drove the fathers from Randolph Center, Vermont, and Skip Swenson, WB6VVA, vice president of the Yankee chapter, brought chapter greetings, and his wife, Diane, from Bolton, Massachusetts. He also reminded all of the upcoming Boxborough convention starting August 22nd. Personal announcements followed. Tony Perrone will have been married 48 years on August 22nd. Wayne Schaefer at his 66th wedding anniversary in June. Bob Mosley will be 93 years old in August. Julius Gallen was reported to be doing well after recent surgery, according to his son Jeff, called W1JG. On the agenda was a motion to amend the bylaws to reflect the actual composition of the board of directors, consisting of the club president, vice president, treasurer, secretary, net manager, and 3 directors-at-large. The motion was approved. The changing of the chapter's call sign from KB1BWO to W1EFW to pay tribute to the club's founder, Milton Chafee, was discussed and is pending approval from family members. Next, a guest speaker, Nancy Laurentano, who President Luke Laurentano refers to as "She Who Must Be Obeyed," gave an interesting talk on her career in library science. Her first job was as a page in her hometown library. She recently retired as director of the Meriden Public Library. She still works part-time as a substitute librarian in Southington and also sings with Chorale Connecticut. Nancy listed the challenges of the urban librarian, from the shrinking budgets, aging building, the patrons, and obsolescence. She stated she would be most remembered as a director for her enforcing a no-sleeping rule, kind of for staff, but mostly for patrons. She feels that as long as libraries continue to adapt, they will not become obsolete. You can't curl up with a good computer. Questions followed, and the discussion heated up as personal privacy rights and national security issues were debated. After lunch, life membership certificates were awarded to Rick Monahan, K1FPP, and Jeff Gallen, W1JG. The raffle was held with gifts obtained by Mimi Whitkin and 1JQV. The jewelry prizes were made by Pat Lux, WB1EOS. Dale Shesek volunteered to pick prizes for the next meeting, scheduled for November 8, 2008, possibly at the Hideaway Restaurant in Old Lyme, Connecticut. That report for Chapter 149, Nutmeg, was filed by Gene Dumbrowick, W1QJL, Secretary. Well, I'll complete our chapter reports that were requested by the print or sight-impaired members of QCWA with Chapter 203, Gil Crossley in Pennsylvania. Chapter 203 continues to be active in central Pennsylvania. We have quarterly meetings, with the last meeting being our annual summer picnic in August. The picnic was hosted by the State College American Legion. Although it rained that day, we had our picnic indoors with plenty of hamburgers, hot dogs, assorted side dishes, and wonderful desserts. President John Johnston was our guest of honor. We greatly enjoyed John's presentation on the QCWA. Our next meeting is our fall meeting on November 1. Chapter 203 conducts a weekly 2-meter net on Sunday evening at 20:30 local time on the State College 146.85 repeater. All comers are welcome. Net control duties rotate on a weekly basis between K3YV, K3BOB, K3CWP, and N3LI. We have our own Chapter 203 website, which is www.nittany.ws/QCWA. That report was filed by Elwood Woody Brem, K3YV, president of Chapter 203, Gil Crosley, in Pennsylvania. Ladies and gentlemen, I just completed the list of the membership that wished this material to be sent to them because they don't have computerization or the ability in one way or another to read the material for themselves. At the very end of the last chapter report, I mentioned John Johnston's name. I must tell you that John is very, very active with a lot of aspects of QCWA, and they show all throughout this journal reading. I don't often bring his name up, but I am going to pause just for a few minutes and talk about the rules say Q&A. This is a feature by John B. Johnston called W3BE. John is located at, this is his home address apparently, 17701 Bowie Mill Road, Durwood, Maryland, 20855-1608. John's column invites readers to submit questions that they have about amateur radio, the regulations, virtually anything to do with ham radio communications. His knowledgeability comes into play and gives very concise and precise answers and explanations for all of the intricacies involved with the FCC and other factors associated with amateur radio. So you're invited to send any question you like to John B. Johnston, W3BE, 17701 Bowie Mill Road, Durwood, Maryland, 20855-1608. Now, before I leave John's column, there was one question. It goes as follows. Could you tell me when the FCC changed the rules to allow amplifiers to be sold that will cover 10 and 12 meters? Now, John's answer, that rule change became effective December 15, 2006, in the report and order in PR docket 04140, sections 97.315 and 97.317, were amended to allow manufacturers to market RF power amplifiers that are capable of operating in the 12-meter and 10-meter amateur bands. Such products must be designed to avoid operation on CW radio service frequencies. Manufacturers must certify that their power amplifiers are not capable of and are not easily modifiable to provide amplification between 26 megahertz and 28 megahertz prior to the grant of an FCC equipment certification. Now, the reason I picked that particular question out, because as I was reading the questions and answers, I said to myself, I didn't know that. I have an old Alpha 76 Alpha that can really pump it out if you're pushing it hard enough. And I recall when I bought that amplifier quite a few years ago, I might add, that it came with the 10-meter band blocked out. But the capability was there just to cross the wires and hook up another post one way or t'other according to the instructions, and you had the 10-meter band. So I thank John for that in my own simplistic little way. Hi, hi. One of the featured pieces in this issue is titled Fame, Fortune, and Ethics. The author is Robert S. Smith, called KK3P. This story is continued from the fall 2008 QCWA Journal. Now, I must tell you, I don't believe I read it in the last recording for the fall issue, but I want to give credit to the gentleman continuing his story. If you as a listener of this recording are one of those folks that was able to read back there 3-4 months ago and would like to know what the end of the story is, you can go to pages 11 and 12 of the Winter 2008 QCWA Journal and get the rest of the story. Well, we have that official announcement of the QCWA 2009 Cruise Convention. The dates are October 24 through 31, 2009. Our Cruise Convention will begin in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, as we board Holland America's brand new ship, the Eurodom, on Saturday, October 24, 2009, as the cabins, meeting rooms, entertainment, food, and most non-alcoholic beverages are included. There is no need for a registration fee. Our first full day, Sunday, will be at sea, where you may operate any of the HF stations that ICOM Radio of America and Comet Antenna will be providing for your use. We hope to have a weather balloon long wire antenna floating above the rear of the ship, weather permitting, It's not known what contacts will provide us, but it should make for some very nice picture opportunities. DHF stations will be operational 24/7 if there is a desire from our travelers. We will also offer a slate of ham forms for your enjoyment on this day and the other sea day, which is Thursday. With the very favorable exchange rate of the Canadian dollar and euro to the American dollar at this time, it provides, I believe, an excellent opportunity to use this convention as a family vacation. You can enjoy the ham aspects of the cruise, while non-ham families and friends enjoy all the amenities provided by Holland America. Your non-ham traveling companions will hardly notice you slipping away to operate Caribbean Maritime Mobile and be the pileup instead of trying to bust into it. Now, on Monday, we'll enjoy a relaxing 8-hour visit to Grand Turk for a little scuba diving, horseback beach riding, swimming, dune buggy safari, or float dreamily over vibrant coral reefs. Wow! Tuesdays will put us in San Juan, Puerto Rico from 10 a.m. to 11 p.m. to visit the old forts, El Yunque Rainforest, old San Juan Historical Walking Tour, and see the Arecibo Observatory, the world's largest radio telescope. The observatory is normally closed on Tuesday. However, if there is interest for our group, I can make special arrangements to have the facility open for a private tour and take care of the transportation. It is a trip worth taking if you can. Now, on Wednesday, pass us in St. Thomas from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., a most wonderful place to shop. Duty-free 7 weeks before Christmas, swim, snorkel, and feed the fish in the crystal-clear Caribbean water and shop until you drop. St. Thomas is the place for that. For clarification on any of the above information and greater details on the cruise itself, cabin selection, air transportation, travel insurance, and radio gear to bring along, please contact me at this email, wa9jmo@wi.com, or by telephone at area 262-639-7327, or by U.S. Postal regular mail to Larry McCalvy, McCalvy, WA9JMO, 5406 Mile Road, Racine, Wisconsin, WI, 53402-9741. If you have not been on a cruise before, an adventure of a lifetime awaits you. If you are a cruiser, you know what I mean. There are more details on the QCWA website. It's http://www.qcwa.org/2009-convention.pdf. Folks, the next bit of information is a wanted poster. There are new lawmen in town. You know, it's actually printed in two separate places. First, on the inside front cover, and then toward the middle of the magazine as well. It just goes to show you how important it is to listen carefully to this information. It goes as follows. There are new lawmen in town. Sheriff Al Irwin, W5PUT, and Marshal Larry McCalvy, W89JMO, both QCWA directors, are offering a $250 bounty to the QCWA member that recruits the most new QCWA members in a given quarter. In order to accomplish this feat, the sheriff and marshal hereby deputize each QCWA member as a deputy. The hunt will be announced in each succeeding issue of the journal for the previous quarter. The rules go as follows. Now, there are 12 rules, so hang in there, okay? Number one, the officers and directors of the QCWA at the national level are ineligible. Two, only current members in good standing are eligible to apply for and receive the bounty as a deputy. Three, an individual deputy may only win the $250 bounty a single time during the duration of the contest over multiple quarters. Four, only new NEW Members recruited during each application quarter are eligible to be counted by deputies for credit. 5. Special conditions. Renewing members are eligible to become a deputy the first day of the month following their effective renewal. 6. No intermixing of recruited members is allowed between quarters. 7. Application is made by submitting the list of recruited members to the general manager, Chuck Walbridge, by the 15th of the month following the end of the quarter you wish to claim. All new membership applications claimed must have reached QCWA headquarters by the end of that quarter. 8. The new members' names on the submitted list must agree with the names on the new application form or forms to include the proposed by line. 9. The applying deputy must have proposed the new member in order for it to be counted. 10. The general manager will be the final authority on the award of the four bounties, second, third, and fourth quarter of 2008, first quarter of 2009. 11. In case of dual winning entries, the winner will be determined by the earliest postmark date. 12. The QCWA deputy that wins for each quarter will have his or her name announced in the QCWA Journal and will receive a QCWA check in the mail for $250. So this information was posted by order of the sheriff and the marshal, the sheriff being Val Irwin, W5PUT, and the marshal, Larry McAlvey, WA9JMO. We have a nice little feature here on page 39. It's titled The Unexpected Reunion. The author, Errol Smith, called Victor Echo 6, November Mike, VE6NM. Whenever I visit Ottawa, Ontario, I try to time my trip so I can enjoy breakfast with the members of the QCWA Chapter 70, the Capital City Chapter. On one of my visits earlier this year, I thought I recognized one of the members. However, he left the breakfast before I had an opportunity to chat with him. After leaving, I continued to stir my brain cells and finally realized that this QCWA member was Gus Holtz, Victor Echo 3, Victor Kilo. He and I had enlisted in the Royal Canadian Air Force at the same time in 1948 and went to the RCAF No. 1 Radar and Communication School in Clinton, Ontario, where we both were members of the RCAF Amateur Radio Club there. We both graduated from the school, were transferred out, went our separate ways, and lost touch. So while I was back in Ottawa, Ontario last week to attend the 50th anniversary reunion of Alert NU Signet people at Canadian Forces Station Leitrim, Ottawa, I once again attended Chapter 70's weekly breakfast where I met Gus for our own little reunion after 60 years. It was great meeting him again for such a long time and to recall mutual friends of that day. Incidentally, prior to the 50th Signet reunion mentioned above, I was one of a small group that was flown to Canadian Forces Station Alert, Ellesmere Island, NU, 450 miles from the North Pole. I served on the first six-month tour up there and was invited to attend a small reunion at Alert 2 weeks ago. It was quite a trip. Now, accompanying the short piece, The Unexpected Reunion, is a picture of Gus Holtz, Victor Echo 3, Victor Kilo, with Errol Smith, Victor Echo 6, November Mike. That was submitted by Errol Smith. Again, for our listeners, there is a continuation of the random recollections of an old ham. This particular segment is titled Heading Out to the Canadian Highway. It's continued from the summer 2008 issue. The author of this continuing drama is George Hart, W1NJM. I know as long as I've been reading these recordings for the Quarter Century Wireless Association, I've also been reading, when the time allowed for it, segments of Mr. Hart's recollections. They're usually very, very good. This one is really long, though, and I'm almost out of time. It runs from page 40 through 41, and then it continues on page 46. If you enjoy his recollections, you might get someone to help you read it from the latest issue of the QCWA Journal. Something else unique here in this issue, on page 49, it's titled Novice History, Institutionalization. It states here, part four in the series for the QCWA Journal by Cliff Cheng, C-H-E-N-G, Ph.D. Cliff's call is Alpha Charlie 6 Charlie, AC6C, Novice Historical Society. I'll read the headnote. Many hobbies like amateur radio do not have a well-documented history. This history was compiled from many sources. Some of them are contradictory. This history is incomplete and should be regarded as a work in progress. There is an absence of YL, minorities, disabled hams, and hams from the U.S. territories in this history, for they are historically underrepresented in ham radio. Welcome to our fourth article in series of articles on the novice era in the history of amateur radio. Earlier articles examine the structure of the license, the 1951 novices, and the novices of the early 1950s. The series is largely based on the stories and photos shared by hams who started as novices on the website of the Novice Historical Society. Now, that website is www.novice.bappy.com. www.novice.bappy.com. Please visit that and share your own novice story and photos. The author of this novice history institutionalization information is, again, Cliff Cheng, Ph.D. His call, AC6C. He's been a happy ham since 1975, when he earned his novice license. At that time, it was WN6JPA. At John Burroughs Junior High School in Los Angeles, California. Cliff's teacher, Ted Ryan, WB6JXY, now a silent key, was a ham radio teacher for 35 years and grew a large and rich ham radio culture at school by teaching six novice classes a year, plus another six novice classes for the San Fernando Valley Amateur Radio Club. Their call was W6SD. Cliff is a Quarter Century Wireless Association member, number 33455, an ARRL life member. He can be reached at his call sign in uppercase, AC6C, at ARRL.net, if you care to share your novice history. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to conclude this digest format reading with the obituary, Silent Keys. With great sadness, we record the passing of these members. I'll just give you the name, the call sign, the member number, the city, and state are all listed, but I'll just share with you the names. A.G., Ralph F. Burned, Richard F. Colliver, Bud. Delaney, Lester Keith. Duncan, Reginald W. Iman, Mike. Fromm, Julia A. Fullweiler, Robert J. Harris, Glendon A. Henry, Adis M. Hilpert, Lucille E. Jacobs, James A. Kekstis, John A. Cree, Philip D. Loeb, Richard H. M. Mills, Harry J. Perrins, Ken. Perry, Arnold C. Rep, Roy W. Sr. Scoot, Karen L. Smith, L. L. Stay, C. A. Thomas, Boyd. Tucker, Ulysses L. Westlund, Robert E. Williamson, Jean A. Zett, John A. Silent Keys. There is an important note at the bottom of this listing. Elbridge Charlton, W5MD, was listed in error as an S key in the Fall 2008 Journal. Our apologies to family and friends. Well, folks, that brings me up to time for the Quarter Century Wireless Association Journal reading and digest form for winter 2008. This recording has been a production of the Courage Handy Ham System, 3915 Golden Valley Road, Golden Valley, Minnesota, 55422. It's for the use of QCWA members and Handy Ham members only. Any other use may violate copyright laws. If you'd like to reach the Handy Hams, you can call us at 763-520-0512 or at email address handyham@courage.org. Our website is www.handyham.org. My name is Bob Zeta, spelled Z-E-I-D-A. My amateur radio call is N1BLF, November 1, Bravo Lima Foxtrot. My QTH geographic location is Dartmouth, Massachusetts, right near Buzzards Bay and Cape Cod. Have a great holiday season, a great new year as well. 73s, and thanks a lot for listening.